You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is local writer and producer Joe Carter. He's joining by phone to discuss his upcoming play titled John Beeson, an Indian Advocate. The play tells a powerful story of a Southern Oregon pioneer who risked everything to stand up for the rights of indigenous people during the Civil War era, an act of courage for which he paid a significant price. A reading of the play is scheduled at Southern Oregon University on July 25th. Welcome to The Exchange, Joe.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well. I don't know the story of John Beeson. Tell me.
Well, John Beeson was born in England. He emigrated to the U.S. with his wife. They were in New York. They saved up some money, eventually became farmers in Illinois. In Illinois, Beeson was an abolitionist, and with his son, Welburn, helped runaway slaves on the Underground Railroad. Kind of moved away from Illinois because, he was, before he came to Oregon, perhaps a little more staunch in his abolitionist views than his neighbors. Came to the Rogue Valley just at the time of the Rogue Indian Wars in the 1850s. Began speaking up for Indians, Native Americans, and against the atrocities that were happening at the time, and was eventually run out of town. Made his way back to New York, published a book called A Plea for the Indians that laid out some of those facts, and lobbied Congress, met with people like met with President Lincoln after he was elected in 1860, and during the Civil War era was a lecturer and advocate for Indian rights in Congress and on the East Coast.
So this guy was pretty significant.
Yeah, he was one of the first pioneers in the Talent area. So he's a local hero in terms of standing up for indigenous rights.
Well, what attracted you to the story of John Beeson?
Well, I live in rural Talent out Wagner Creek Road, and, you know, twice a day I drive by this place called Beeson Lane, which runs right into the homestead that where he lived. I became interested, went down to the Talent Historical Society, bought Oregon Outcast, which is a biography of Beeson written by Jan Wright, in 2018, read that book, read his plea for the Indians, and started to imagine, you know, some of the dynamics in his family with him, you know, leaving the family farm and his son having to take over and send money, support his father on the East Coast. And really what I brought to it that wasn't in Jen Wright's book was a Native American voice. Part of his lecture is sort of like a Chautauqua series. He incorporated a Native American singer named LaRuqua and just give more voice to that character in terms of the whole history of the settlement in the West.
Well, Beeson was forcibly removed from his home by his own neighbors. What was the culture like in Talent that made his community so irate with Beeson?
Well, it was pretty primitive at the time. I mean, you know, the wars were one side would attack and the other side would retaliate. And people were living in a log fort called Fort Wagner to protect themselves. You know, he moved to Talent in 1853. In October of 1855, he was on jury duty in Jacksonville, the Jacksonville courthouse, and learned about this plan by Major Lupton to go and raid Indian village, Little Butte Creek, out by Eagle Point. Pleaded with the sheriff, the Indian agent, to do something to stop this couldn't. There was a massacre of about 28 Native Americans, mostly women and children. Of course, there was a retaliation. And then the next May of 1856, he wrote a letter to the San Francisco Herald to lay out some of these facts. Instead of getting the letter, it was intercepted by the postmaster in Phoenix, read aloud at a meeting of settlers, and he was not allowed to speak. And basically, there were vigilantes camping around his homestead, and he fled in the night for fear of death.
Well, your play explores these heavy themes like genocide and racial discrimination, as you're describing. How do you approach these sensitive historical topics in a way that resonates with a modern audience today?
Yeah, good question. So one of the challenges was to, you know, take this 19th century language and turn it into language that would be understood by today's audience. You know, for example, we debated, can you use the word feminist? Because he was, he knew feminists. At the time, that was not a common usage, but certainly there were people advocating for women's rights and suffrage. And, I think it has to be approached with a little humility, and, you know, because these are basically very terrible facts, you know, so how do you tell the story without people, you know, running for the exit? So where there's humor, I tried to bring that. So it's kind of an emotional roller coaster up and down, but it's not just the atrocities. It's about the relationship with his son. You know, his son admired his father and what he was doing, but certainly had some, feelings about him leaving the farm and leaving all the work to him and supporting his mother, the relationship with his wife, and as you mentioned, with the other community. So, you know, what does that mean for us to make a stand against something, about something that you feel is morally right, and all of your neighbors perhaps have different views? What are the personal costs in making that stand?
My guest is a local writer and producer, Joe Carter. His latest play is titled John Beeson, an Indian Advocate. A reading performance is scheduled at SOU's Meese Auditorium on July 25th from 7 to 9 p.m., and more information can be found at jbeeson.com. Joe, you have a very experienced cast. Tell me about them.
Yeah, I'm going to correct you. It's Charter. It's a common mistake, but that's okay. Our cast is great. I got my dream team for the cast. We got Bob Jackson Minor playing Beeson. You would probably recognize Bob as Abraham Lincoln in the Ashland 4th of July parade, or as Harmonica Bob. He's been around, done shows at Cabaret, with some Guys on Ice there, and 1776 at the Camelot. He's been in over 30 musical productions. Bob just imbues this character. He comes off as a sort of a fiery evangelist in making his case for Indian rights. We have Teresa Cisneros. She's a former OSF actor, played roles in some plays that people may remember, Between Two Knees, Manahatta. She's currently the director of Coalition Fortazella, nonprofit. She is a member of the Carrizo Nation on the Texas-New Mexico border. She brings a fantastic voice, a singing voice, to the role. We have Bo Brazo, who plays the son, Wellborn. Bo has been in a number of local community theater performances, including playing Alan Turing in Breaking the Code at Ashland Contemporary Theater. Then Pam Ward is the narrator. She is a founding member of Collaborative Theater Project in Medford, has an extensive audio book narration background. It's a great cast. We have also a wonderful crew supporting them.
So why did you choose to include a narrator for this specific production?
Well, another good question. There's history here. I mean, I'm fascinated by history. So, for example, you go to see a Shakespeare play, they do the land acknowledgement and says, you know, get to know the history of the tribes who, you know, first inherited these lands. And so some of that history is appropriate for a white person to say, you know, this is the history of my government. Some of it is appropriate and emotionally compelling for a Native American to say, this is what happened to our people. And that emotion really comes through, I think, in Teresa's performance.
And how much of the dialogue or the plot is pulled directly from historical records?
Boy, that's a good question also. I would say, you know, 70-80%, because my interest in history is sort of like, I think, okay, this was going on here. What else was happening elsewhere in the country in terms of, you know, there are other conflicts that were close in time, Wounded Knee, the Modoc Indian Wars. And so I wanted to bring that in. So that is not, some of that is touched on in Jan's book, but it's more sort of a national or more global history or look at that history of white settlement.
You also include historical photos of the people and places involved.
Yep. I think projections have become a bigger part, certainly, of OSF productions and other plays. And it's just interesting to see local characters. We got Sam Culver from Phoenix, just a really interesting looking guy. So it's almost a bit like a Ken Burns movie where he takes these photographs and while he's telling the story. I think it helps to carry the story.
So based on your research, what do you think drove Beeson to keep advocating for Native Americans even after losing his home?
Well, I just think that he had a strong moral compass. I mean, he was first an abolitionist. He was kind of, you know, I don't want to say an outcast by nature, but someone who I would say is an iconoclast who is willing to go against the grain. You know, he's, a quote of his is, do good, love truth, be fair, and just to all, and exalt the right. So he had a really strong moral compass that just drove him to make a moral stand on the issues of his day.
Well, I understand the proceeds from this performance are going toward SOU's Native American Studies scholarship. Why was that important?
Well, it's at SOU. I've been to the powwow. It's just, you know, we do have production costs, so it's not all proceeds, but net proceeds. So, you know, I'm not doing this to make money or to be in the theater business, but really to educate people about this history. So what a good way to give back and make people feel good about, you know, learning this history. You know, you might walk away and say, well, what can I do about that? If that's tragic and it happened, what can I do about that? Well, you can invest in the future of these sovereign people.
Okay, so for those listening who want to attend, where can they get tickets and where can they get more information?
Again, you mentioned the website, jbweson.com. Advance tickets at Paddington Station in the basement. They take cash or check only, $20. Will also be some tickets at the door. I caution people to try to get advance tickets because last showing was standing room only.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining me, Joe.
Thanks so much, Mike. Have a good day.